It's always a pleasure to come and worship with you on when I get to do that. And thanks for those kind words. They were well thought. If anything is good, it's not me, it's him. And I know that's what you meant, so that's good. I've entitled today's sermon, A Faith That Shapes Generations. It's taken out of Hebrews 11. Will be our main passage. So if you have your Bibles and want to turn there, that would be good. You know, there are moments in history when a single decision, quiet, unseen, even risky, ripples outward and changes the course of generations. You know, not all those moments happen on the battlefield or in a palace or even in places of power. You know, some of them happen in hidden places, even in the heart of a mother. You know, today we're going to look at one such moment. A mother whose name is not always first remembered, but whose faith shaped one of the greatest leaders in Scripture. Her name is Jochebed. Do you guys know who Jochebed is right off the bat? That's Moses' mom's name. You can find it in Samuel and Kings. I don't know. Okay. Anyway. Her story reminds us that faith, even when exercised in obscurity and fear, can echo through generations. Hebrews 11, it's often called the Hall of Faith. It's where we highlight men and women of the faith who trusted God when circumstances gave them no reason to trust Him, and yet they trusted Him. And tucked into that chapter is a brief but powerful statement. Let's see if I got this right. I don't got it right. Okay. Hebrews 11:23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict." You know, behind that statement is a mother who made a choice, and that choice changed history. And to better understand what she did and where she is in this, we need to go to Exodus and actually read the narrative a little bit. Now, I'm not going to read the whole narrative. I'm going to pull excerpts out of it. So keep your finger in Hebrews and flip to the second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 1. And we'll start off and we'll read... there it is. We'll read in verse 15. Where the Lord says this, "Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Sisera and the other Puah." Those are some names right there. "When you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it's a son, you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and let the male children live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women, they're not like the Egyptian women. They're vigorous and they give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." You see, Israel was enslaved. They had gone into Egypt. Jacob had gone down into Egypt in the famine with his 12 sons, and you know the story of Joseph and all that. And that they've all died and moved on. Hundreds of years have passed, and now Pharaoh's afraid that Israel's going to overthrow him, and so he's enslaved them. He's oppressed them. He's beaten them down. And then he decrees that every Hebrew male child was to be killed at birth or thrown into the Nile. Now, this was not a suggestion. It was the law. And in that culture, in that time, to disobey Pharaoh meant certain death. And in the midst of that, Jochebed gives birth. Imagine the moment. Cries of the newborn, the joy of life mixed with the terror of consequence. She knew the law, what the law required. She knew what could happen if she disobeyed. And yet Scripture says in Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. Maybe if I stand perfectly still. By faith, he was hidden. Faith doesn't always eliminate fear. Faith gives us the courage to act in spite of it. Jochebed looked at her child and she saw something that the world didn't see. The Bible says the child was beautiful. Now that wasn't just about his appearance. It suggests purpose, calling. Because as we know the story of Moses, God had a call in his life. This is where faith begins. Not in comfort, not in certainty, but in choosing obedience when the cost is real. Jochebed made a decision. She was going to trust God more than she would fear man. How often are we faced with quieter versions of the same choice? Will we follow God when culture pushes the other direction? Will we stand for truth when it risks relationships or reputation? Will we obey when it's inconvenient, uncomfortable, or even costly? We all want to say yes from the comfort of our chairs. But when reality hits and we're standing in those situations, that's when we'll know. These are things to think about and ponder on. Things to ask for yourself, not to point at others, but yourself. Jochebed faith reminds us that obedience to God is never wasted, even when it's dangerous. I don't know. Probably ahead two slides now. Yeah. Yeah, one more. This brings us to our second point, and that's faith that takes action. Faith that takes action. See, Jochebed didn't just feel her faith. She acted on it. For 3 months, she hid Moses in her home. You know, this required planning, effort, constant vigilance. Every cry could expose him. Every knock at the door could have been the end. See, faith isn't passive. It moves. There came a point when she could no longer hide him. And here is where her faith becomes even more unremarkable. Exodus 2:3 says, when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes, daubed it with bitumen and pitch, and she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. She builds this basket. She puts her child inside of it, sets him in the Nile, the very river that had been the place of death. Now, at first glance, this might look like surrender, giving up. But it was actually trust. She did everything she could, and then she placed her son in God's hands. That's one of the hardest acts of faith, releasing control. Now, some of us are good at doing what we can. You know, we plan. We work, we strive, but faith reaches its deepest expression when we say, God, I trust you with what I cannot control. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can't control anything. I could have faith that chair right there is going to hold me if I go sit in it. But do I honestly have control over whether that chair is going to hold me up or not? I mean, I can inspect it, I can have other people sit on it and test it, we can do all kinds of things to it. But in the end, when I turn around and sit on that chair, I have to have faith. It's out of my control whether it holds me up. We don't have as much control as we think we do. And when we relinquish that to God, that's the deepest act of faith. Now, Jochebed could not determine the outcome, what was going to happen to Moses when she put him in that basket in the Nile. She could not guarantee his safety. But she trusted the one who sees what we cannot see. And those of you who know the story, we know God was already at work. He had a plan. And this was part of it. Which leads us to our third point, God's providence in the unseen. Exodus 2, 5 through 10 says this, "Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And while her young women walked beside the river, she saw this basket among the reeds. She sent her servant woman, and she took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. And she took pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse this child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away, nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son. She named him Moses because she said, 'I drew him out of the water.'" You see, the basket floated. The current carried it. And what might look like coincidence, but is actually divine orchestration, it's found by Pharaoh's daughter. The very household that issued the death decree became the place of protection. And then comes one of the most astonishing twists in Scripture. Jochebed is brought in to nurse and raise her own child for Pharaoh's daughter. She's paid to raise her own kid. Only God can write a story like that. Our planning can't do that. What seemed like loss, laying the child in the river, became provision for the child and for the family. What seemed like surrender, giving up, saying, "Okay, we'll put him in the Nile," became God's strategy. And what seemed like a risk became redemption. See, this is how God works. It's how he works in our lives. You know, he's not limited by systems, rulers, or circumstances. He can turn opposition into opportunity. He can use the very structures that are meant for harm as instruments of his plan. And during those early years, while Jochebed cared for Moses, she had something far more important than proximity to her son. She had influence. Those of you who have raised children understand how much influence you have in those young years. And though Scripture doesn't record her words to Moses growing up, we see the evidence of her impact in Moses' life. Because years later, when Moses is a grown man, he has everything Egypt could offer him. Everything. Wealth, power, identity. He makes a surprising choice. It brings us to our next point, the fruit of a mother's faith. Hebrews 11:24 says, "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Now, this decision didn't happen in a vacuum. He didn't just, I'm going to do this, and there wasn't any, it didn't just happen. Somewhere along the way, Moses learned who he really was. He learned who the God of his people was. He learned that identity isn't defined by position, but by calling. Where'd that come from? It's likely began in those early years when Jochebed was nursing Moses and raising him with a mother who knew and trusted a God who provides. A mother who chose faith over fear. A mother who obeyed when it was dangerous. A mother who trusted God with her child's future. Jochebed may not have lived to see the Exodus. She may not have lived to see the Red Sea part. or see the law given on Mount Sinai. But her faith is woven into every step of that story. That's the power of generational faith. The seeds that we plant today may grow long after we're gone. Say that again. The power of generational faith is that the seeds we plant today grow long after we are gone. In other words, when we're sharing Jesus with people and we're living these lives that God's called us to live and doing what he's called us to do, and people are watching us, we're planting seeds. Or we're watering seeds that were already planted, and we may never see the outcome of that. But long after we're gone, the fruit comes. That's what happened with Jochebed. We know Moses was 80 years old before he led the children out of Israel. The children of Israel out of Egypt. I got that backwards. Sorry. It leads us to our fifth point, which is choosing the eternal over the temporary. Moses' decision is described in striking terms. Yeah. Hebrews 11, 25 and 26 say, I think I have it up there, yeah. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Let's think about that for a minute. Moses had everything the world had to offer. Egypt represented the known world. He had everything. He had it all. Prestige, power, money, comfort, influence, success. He had it all. I mean, there's only a couple people that were above him. He was a prince in Egypt. There's only a couple people that were over him. He had it all. And Moses walked away from it. Why? Because, as Hebrews 11:26 says, he saw something greater. He saw something greater. He was looking to that reward. This perspective didn't just appear overnight. Rather, it was formed, it was shaped, it was passed down. Jochebed's faith helped give Moses an eternal lens. An eternal lens. Now, we may have an idea of what an eternal lens is, and we may have misunderstood that. An eternal lens is not, oh my goodness, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, even so come, Lord Jesus. That is a selfish lens. That is a lens looking at me and my situation. An eternal lens is one that sees the world and sees all the people that are headed to hell and saying, how many can I bring along with me to heaven? How many can I share Jesus with so that they don't have to suffer and die in hell? That's the eternal lens, looking at the reward that's not here on earth, looking at the reward that we get in heaven for what we do here with our faith. That's the eternal lens. This raises some important questions for us. What are we teaching the next generation to value? I think back up a couple slides. Yeah, right there. Are we pointing them towards success or towards significance in God's kingdom? Are we modeling comfort or conviction? Are we teaching them to chase after temporary rewards or eternal ones? You know, people learn more from what we do than what we say. We can speak it. We can come in and sit here on Sunday morning and listen to sing some songs. We sang a bunch of songs this morning about statements of faith, and they're great, and they're true, and they're awesome. We sang that song, Build My Life, by Pat Barrett, one of my favorite songs. Are we really living it? Do our actions meet what our mouth is saying? Only you can answer that. People learn from what we live more than what we say. Brings us to my last point here. faith that endures. See, the passage ends with this in Hebrews 11:27. It says, "By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." See, this phrase is powerful, seeing him who is invisible. You know, that's faith at its core. It's living with the reality that others can't see. It's trusting a God who's not physically visible, but is completely present and active. That kind of faith doesn't just appear in a moment of crisis. It is cultivated over time. Jochebed's quiet faith helped produce enduring faith in Moses. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, discipled her son. She planted the seeds. She watered the seeds. And we can read the fruit of it. Read the whole rest of the book of Exodus and watch how God, Moses wasn't perfect, but he used him. What about you and I? If we claim that Christ is our Lord and Savior, there's two things that should be happening. One, we should be being discipled, meaning someone should be discipling us. Two, we should be discipling others, planting the seeds. Two things. Are we living that? So the call for us today, the story is not just about a mother long ago. It's about all of us. Because all of us influence somebody. Everyone here, we have influence on somebody's life. Some of us are parents, some of us are grandparents, some of us are mentors, teachers, spiritual leaders. Some of us are just living lives that other people watch and see and observe. The truth is, your faith matters more than you know, more than we realize. You may not see the full impact. You may not witness the outcome. But your choices, your obedience, your courage can shape lives far beyond your reach. So I've got five challenges for us today, church. Five challenges. And they're hard and they're difficult, but they're worth it. Challenge one is to choose obedience over fear. Even when it costs, even when it's risky. To obey the word of God, not to obey people, but to obey God and his word and not be afraid of it. Even when we could lose everything, lose our relationships. Challenge two is to act on our faith. To say we have faith and not do anything is, well, James says, faith without works is dead. If there's no action with your faith, you have no faith. We can claim to have faith, but if there's no action, we're lost. We're not a child of God. Action, faith without works is dead. That's what James is saying. He's not saying that the works are the faith. He's saying if you have faith, you have works. They go together. Peter says it in 1 Peter 1:14 when he's talking, it's an apostolic greeting, and he's giving all these action verbs, and then he says, as obedient children, not to go be obedient, but because you are a child of God, you are obedient. They go together. You can't have one without the other. Act on our faith. It's not just belief, it's a movement. Challenge three, trust God with what we cannot control. Release what is beyond our hand to his and watch him write a story. That's going to be so far, so unbelievable, so remarkably different than what we have planned, just like he did with Jochebed and with Moses. Invest into others intentionally. Meaning, I'm getting up today. I am looking for people to invest into. I'm going out of my way to have those conversations. I'm not waiting for them to come to me. I'm not waiting for the right moment or the right words or to get not. No, I'm intentionally out seeking people. Who can I pour Jesus into? Who can I share the faith with? Who can I encourage? What member of the church can we encourage and lift up? What person who doesn't know Jesus can we share him with? Especially that next generation. Because we're all here because of previous generations. 2,000 years ago, Christ died and rose again. And for generation after generation after generation that has been passed on, continue to do that. Live with eternity in view. What we value will shape what others pursue. You see, who you look up to, whoever that is that you've looked up to over your life, you start pursuing the things that they live for, that matter to them, right? Just as all the people that are looking up to you, and everybody has somebody that's looking up to you, they will pursue the things that are important in your life. Is that eternal things, or is that temporary things? Five challenges. Five considerations. See, Jochebed, she never stood on a stage. She never led a nation. She never performed any miracles. And in fact, in all aspects of Jochebed's life, she just lived just another person. Just a glimpse in history. Nobody remembered her. I mean, she is written in Scripture. But what she did is she trusted God. She had faith. And she passed that faith down. And because she did, a child lived. A leader was formed. A nation was delivered. Her story reminds us of a profound truth. You do not have to be visible to be impactful. You don't have to be famous to be faithful. You don't have to see the outcome to make a difference. A mother's quiet act of faith helped change history. And the same God who worked through her still works today through you and I. He's still working, very much active, very much alive. So the question is not whether your faith matters, because our faith does matter. The question is what will you do with it? I'm going to leave you with that thought. What will you do with your faith? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just love you. And we are so thankful for who you are and what you did for us, Lord. Lord, and as we consider our faith and our obedience to you and your word, Lord, may we have that eternal lens. May we be like Jochebed and pour into that next generation. Pour into the others around us. May we live out our faith day to day, moment by moment. Lord, as we leave here today and in a bit, Father, I pray that we will have the foresight to be looking for those divine interactions that you have already preordained for us, Father. That we'd be willing, bold, and have courage to share you and your love for the lost. That we'd be bold in encouraging one another through your word. Ask these things in your name. Amen.